We begin with the last five verses of the first chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Truly, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Amen, amen. I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What a contrast between Nathanael and the Bible character on whom Chaplain Bernthal focused your attention yesterday. On the one hand, there is Jacob using trickery and lies and deceit to get what he wanted. And the other, you have Nathanael, whom Jesus himself says is a man of integrity, a person with a reputation for honesty and openness in his speech and actions. Despite this sharp contrast between Nathanael and Jacob, there's a surprising and wonderful connection between the two in the verses I just read. What do you think Nathanael was doing under that fig tree, whose large leaves hid him from passersby, giving him a certain amount of privacy? It was, by the way, a tree nowhere near where Jesus was gathering disciples. One pastor suggested to me, maybe Nathanael was counting his money. Others have said, maybe he was taking a nap or meditating on God's word. Now, we aren't told in so many words what Nathanael was doing in private beneath the branches of that fig tree, but we are told he was utterly astonished, thunderstruck, when Jesus told him he saw him there. I mean, Nathanael went from, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" to, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In other words, "Teacher, you are God from eternity. You are the promised Savior, the Messiah." What was Nathanael doing under that fig tree that Jesus knew all about that left Nathanael in such a state of wonderment that he could come to only one conclusion, that Jesus is Lord himself, come into flesh for our salvation? I believe Nathanael was praying and realized that Jesus had heard him. And Jesus' response, did he in any way tell Nathanael to back off a little, that he was mistaken in his confession of praise? Not hardly. Instead, he doubles down on the matter by saying to Nathanael, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Amen, amen." That double amen emphasizes this is absolutely true, and I don't want you to forget it. "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." With these words, Jesus takes us back to that man on the run, Jacob, fleeing the vengeful wrath of his brother Esau. We find him camped by the roadside, asleep with his head on a pillow-like boulder, his mind full of a wondrous dream, a vision from God. Now, let me stop here and say that as a young man, my Bible, the King James Version, said that Jacob saw a ladder stretching from earth to heaven. And that gave me no end of trouble for a long time. I just could not see angels coming and going both on the ladder stretching straight up from earth to heaven. Later in life, things became clearer when I found out the Hebrew word involved could be translated stairway. Ah, as the EHV and others have it, a stairway to heaven. And on it, angels coming and going, taking prayers and bringing answers, access to God. No matter what Jacob saw, the voice of the Lord from the stairway's top in heaven assured the fugitive that his lying ways hadn't changed God's faithfulness to his promises made to Abraham and Isaac and now renewed to Jacob. Jacob's sinfulness blocked his access to God, just as your sins and mine do as well. But God's words and the vision of the stairway to heaven say that human sin would not keep our loving God from giving sinners access to himself during this life and access to life in heaven after this life here is ended. But it would be entirely God's doing, his grace. The stairway to heaven, access to God, to do us any good, can't be just a dream. It has to be real because our sins are real, all too real. God had to actually make a way for us to come to him in prayer, for us to come and live with him forever. Jesus is that way. As he would later say, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. To Nathanael, Jesus said the same thing when he said, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see me on the tree of the cross. There I will make the access to God, which that stairway in Jacob's dream could only picture. I in my body will become the stairway to heaven. As the writer to the Hebrews says, a new and living way into the presence of God is ours through the flesh of Jesus offered for us. So God provides access to himself through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. In other words, Jesus is the stairway to heaven. Take that glorious epiphany picture with you today and every day. Remember it when you pray. And when you give thanks for blessings of prayers answered, remember, Jesus does not simply tell you about the way to heaven or point you to it. He himself is the way. Rest your heart here. Let the whole weight of your faith lean on this. Jesus is the stairway to heaven. Let us sing hymn 377. Verses 6, 9, and 10. 377, 6, 9, and 10.
Build on this foundation. God.